Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 26. Let me wait a second. I'm going to read 20 through 27. Now, listen to what the Word of God is saying here. And if I had to title this message, it would be entitled, Set a Guard. Set a Guard. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27 says this, My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, and that's effort. For out of it, now I want you to underline this, or highlight this, and ponder on this all week. Keep your heart with all diligence, which is effort, for out of it spring the issues of life. Where does the issues of life come from? The heart. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth, a negative or perverted mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, which is your direction. And let all your ways be established, and I put right here, by God. Do not turn to the left, or to the right, or to the left. Remove your foot from all evil. So I want to talk for just a few moments on setting a guard, the importance of a positive attitude. How many of you know, have you ever heard the old saying? And when I was playing sports, we used this a whole lot. Attitude determines altitude. How many of you, anybody here serve in the military? My dad served in the Marines. And when he served in the Marines, they never went to battle thinking they was going to get beat. How many, anybody besides myself play sports in school? Okay. When you went, cheerleader, just a straight A student.
Okay. All black school.
Hey, there you go. The middle of the Oreo cookie.
Yep, I was the token white person.
Don't hang me across on white. I'm just kidding. But the thing is, when you, Brother Ernie's coming. When you went to play, how many of you ever, before you played a team, heard them say, man, they are big and they are powerful? And how many times before you even took the first snap, before you even shot the first shot, before you even swung at the first pitch or caught it in the glove, was already beat? Because you, as a man thinketh, so is he. Think about it. You know, it's just like with me when I played sports. One of the things that I always told people, they'd say, well, you know, so-and-so plays for East Wilkes, or so-and-so plays for Starmount. And they were like, you know who they are? I said, no, don't tell me. I could care less. And the reason I did that is because I didn't want to set a mindset that this cat was big. This guy threw heat. This person was hard to guard. And we played a team. I pitched a no-hitter numerous times in high school. And it was me and this other guy. We were battling. I mean, we was playing Allegheny. I was throwing a no-hitter. He was pitching a three-hitter. And, I mean, for you that don't know what that is, they didn't get a hit, but we got three hits. And two of those was mine before the last inning. Three out of the four was mine at the end of the game, but so happens he hung me a curveball. When he did, I drove it, hit over the fence in right field. Well, after the game, good game, and somebody come up to me and said, did you know who was pitching for them? I could care less. They said, that's Larry Taylor. He just signed a baseball scholarship with Duke University. I don't care. Because the thing is, when we go into battle thinking we're going to be defeated, we're defeated. If you look at the whole armor of God, what is the one part of the body that is not protected? The back. You know why? Because you're not supposed to tuck tail and run.
Yep.
In football, the only thing that was protected on our back was our butt bone. Yep. Why? Because we weren't supposed to turn our back. We're supposed to press forward.
Yeah.
We're supposed to hit that person. The problem is we have too many talk Christians,
yes,
and not enough walk and walk Christians.
Yeah.
When the going gets tough, they get going.
Yeah.
But the wrong way.
Yeah.
He never said this walk with him was going to be easy.
Amen.
But he did say that it would be worth it.
Yes.
But developing a positive attitude. Now, a good way, how many of you in this church today or tonight can say, I need work when it comes to a positive attitude? I think all of us could say there's times in our life that we already speak sickness, we already speak poverty, we do these things. Think about this. How many times in your life, and I've got so many notes, but I'm not going to get them. How many times in your life have you made these statements? We are never going to get ahead. We're always broke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to change. I'm too set in my ways. If you're too set in your ways, you've gone as far as you're going to go in life. Because this is an ever-changing world. Thank God that we got automobiles and not horse and buggies. I'd have had to start coming up here Monday. And I may not have made it to Sunday. That old horse get tired coming up that night. How many times have you said, or have you said this to somebody, if you don't like it, leave. I'm at my breaking point. You're going to make me lose my mind. I don't have time to read the Bible. What's the use in tithing? We never have any money. You never will.
That's right.
Because you've already spoken. You've already spoke what you're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people say this all the time. Premarital counseling. I've decided I'm going to start doing 17 weeks now instead of 16. It wouldn't hurt for some marriages, just say, get a refresher. Just say. But anyway, but I said that for a reason. When you say, this is the way I am and I'm never changing. I'm going to tell you something. Let's just be real on the grill and tell it like it is. And that's just who I am, okay? When you are dating, you put your best foot forward. Maybe not y'all, but I sure did. But the thing is, you put your best effort forward when you're trying to get it. But then you don't preserve it when you get it.
Amen.
Just like your walk with God. When you receive salvation, folks, can I tell you something? That's the easy part.
Yeah.
The hard part is staying away from those temptations,
yes,
that you once was in. Come on now. You know you got people in your life that brings out the worst in you.
Amen.
Think about it. I'm going to ask you a question. Is that relationship so important that you can't break away from it? See, it's just like I was talking to a young lady yesterday. She's actually a doctor. I was doing a funeral. And she was there. And she began talking. She knew I was a preacher, a chaplain. And she said that her and her husband called it quits in the marriage. She was separated. And I said, really? And, you know, curiosity will kill the cat, but I'm always wanting to know why. She said, I said, why? Was there unfaithfulness in the marriage? And her excuse was his mom. If that'd be the case, I'd never marry, had I? I ain't going to lie. I love my mother-in-law from a distance. I do. She's starting to be nice to me, and it's scaring me. She was picking on me Friday night because I was getting gray-headed at a football game. And I'm sitting here thinking, I can't believe she's paid that much attention. I told Heather, I said, she's been extremely nice. She's up to something. You know. But the thing is simply this. To have a positive attitude, everything I just said is a mindset. Come on now. You want to tell you why this church ain't growing? Because the mindset.
Yeah.
Our mindset. I told Heather, I said, honey, I said, if I was the pastor of this church, which I don't want it, I said, by goodness, we would be doing something for the community every Saturday with nothing in return. Glory to God, we'd be having a fall festival back there in that backyard. Glory to God, we would be making it hard for people to go to hell in Newland. We'd be making it hard for people to go to hell in every county. And see, I heard the Holy Spirit. When I said we'd be doing something every Saturday, I heard somebody say in their spirit, not me. Mindset.
Yeah.
Anything worth having is going to cost you something. Mindset.
Yeah.
See, think about this. My Granny Castine has told me many times, you are never going to like it because you have had your mind made up that you are not going to change.
Yeah.
And because of that mindset, I missed out on a lot of things in life that once I renewed my mind and went with my heart, I love it now.
Yeah.
I'll give you one. I love sushi. Now?
Fish bait?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fish bait. Fish bait, mate. But either way, I was told that it was nasty. And for years I thought it was and never tasted it. My mindset. But the older I get, the more I realize I'm not going to know if I don't like something unless I try it. Now there's three things I'm not going to try. Alcohol, well, maybe more. Alcohol, drugs, smoking, dipping, infidelity, and any of the things that lines up. Watching nasty stuff on television, I'm never going to do it. That's not my mindset, that's my heart fixed. Uh-huh. Did the Word of God not tell us to guard our hearts? See, it's just like when you watch things on television. No matter what it is, for your eyes to watch it, you have to open up your heart.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because it's going to go through the eyes, through the brain, to the heart. You might say, well, I don't believe that. You watch some of the kids that watch things on television. My sister watched Friday the 13th when we were kids. And my daddy was asleep. And my sister was about the age of Allison Madison. And on Sundays, daddy got on the couch and he slept between church services. And daddy told me, he said, son, I felt someone looking at me in my sleep. I looked up and your sister Deborah had a butcher knife right above me, getting ready to stab me with it. And I said, huh. Daddy said, they're only practicing what they've seen.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. You can't blame a child for doing things that you allow them to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. My daddy didn't have to speak but once. See, the thing is, it's just like, I'll be straight up with you. I love you all. But if I ever see a child get in a parent's face, oh, it's going to be all like Donkey Kong. Or a man get in the face of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lose my religion. I'm going to keep my Christianity and whoop somebody's tail. Or die trying. Because the Bible told us that we're not supposed to do that.
That's right.
You know, I want to say that. I'm going to tell you something. When God gave me my wife, He called me to protect her. She is not below me. She completes me. Ain't nothing. Let me tell you what happens in churches. In churches, that's true. And please listen when I say this. Pastors, the reason they lose their wives is because they become married to the church. Come on, don't you die on me. It's the truth, isn't it? The pastor forsakes his first ministry We're talking about attitude here. He's trying to please the people.
Yeah.
And he's taking his focus off of pleasing God.
Yeah.
If you, let's use an example. Let's say Philip does get married one of these days. We're going to put him on The Bachelor the way it looks. But anyway. If you ever see him putting his church before his spouse, deacons, elders, church members, have a come to Jesus with him. Because the Bible tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Christ is married to the church. We are the bride.
Yeah.
But when we put things before them,
yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you do everything you want to do during the day, and you come home and get in the bed and you start showing her some attention, I hope she turns her back toward you. Why? Because don't forsake her all day. I don't know where this is coming from, but don't forsake her all day and then expect her to love you at night.
That's right.
Well, that ain't costing nothing. But it's true. So, accept the challenge. A good start towards spiritual growth and a change of mindset and a positive attitude is to accept the challenge to obey God's command to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Now catch this. Catch what I'm sharing with you. Nothing can grow. We can't grow in God without being fertilized with Word.
Amen.
I mean, I can. I don't know about y'all. I'm not a gardener. Heather does all that stuff. I don't have the patience. If it ain't growing in 2 weeks, I use the lawn mower that I bought from y'all. Roll over and come on. But that's just not, I'm not patient. I mean, I ain't got time to fertilize a garden. I ain't got time to pull the weeds out of it. So I shouldn't expect a harvest, should I?
That's right.
I don't have time to read the Word.
Yeah.
I don't have time to pray. Why should I expect anything from God?
Amen.
Uh-huh. See, we got this thing with God out of order. And I told you, I'm watching it too. We have this thing with God out of order.
Amen.
How many times you ever heard somebody say these two phrases? God is first in my life, and God is my co-pilot. Boy, that's already messed up right then, isn't it?
Yeah.
God can't be first. God's got to be.
Yeah. Amen.
God is my life.
Amen.
My wife is first in my life. My children are second. And everything else will fall into place.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me the question after church when I was mentioning that now I'm just evangelizing, I'm not pastor. Somebody asked me after church, did you ever think you're a pastor again? No. Now, if it's the Lord's will, yeah. But I just feel like that I am called. Me and Heather were talking about it at lunch. I just feel like I am called to go and build up a church and help that church grow and help that pastor. But see, the thing is this. It's a mindset. He told us that we need to grow. Now catch this. I'm flipping back and forth. We have to accept the challenge to obey God's commands to grow. Now, I'm getting ready to say something, and when I say it, please don't get offended. As long as it's fresh, we're focused. Amen.
Amen.
But when the newness wears off, we go back to the old way of thinking.
Yeah.
The Word of God told us, did it not? You can't put new wine into old wineskins. Why? Because it'll burst. Because that wineskin was not made for that wine. Hallelujah. Now catch this. I'm going to use a bad analogy, but it's true. Have you ever opened up a soft drink? And when you open up that soft drink and you take that first swallow, oh, it's fresh. But if you take that same soft drink and pour it into another bottle, it don't taste the same.
Yeah.
Why? Because it wasn't made for that bottle. It was made for the bottle that it was put in to start with. The reason that old wineskins can't take new wine is because old wineskins have sat stagnant for so long. My question, Brother Dickie, my question, Brother Joe, is this. How long has this church, this area, and you individually just sit? What happens to tires if they sit on a car for 3 years?
They dry rot.
Why? Because they're not doing, hallelujah, yes, they're not doing what they were called to do.
Yes.
Eagles will die on ground.
Yeah.
Eagles are destined to fly. An eagle has a 6-foot wingspan. But if an eagle falls to the ground and tries to run, it'll fall. It'll trip over its own wings. Why? Because it was, excuse me, it was destined to fly.
Yes.
A church is destined by God to grow.
Yes.
Come on now.
Amen.
If you were in the same place you were with God a year ago, it ain't God that's changed. It's you.
Yep.
Heather and I got a mindset, Brother Joe, about 6 months ago, that we want to get out of unnecessary debt.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. How many times have we wasted money and then wondered where God was at when we was running E in a gas tank?
Amen.
Now, if we would have been at home today, we would not have ate out.
That's right.
Because I could have took that same $44, went to the grocery store with my wife. Oh, she is a bargain shopper. And we could have ate for 2 weeks on $44. That's why they call it fast food. They'll fastly get your money, you'll fastly eat your sandwich, and you'll fastly be broke. Think about it.
Yep.
Think about it. The Bible tells us with a positive attitude that we're supposed to be good stewards of God's money. We're supposed to be good stewards of the money that God has given us. I'm not talking prosperity. I'm talking about being a good steward.
Yes, amen.
How can you ask God to give you a bigger house when the cockroaches are riding around in dune buggies in the house you live in now because you won't clean it?
Go ahead.
And you're going to be on the next episode of Hoarders. How many times there someone said, I wish we had a bigger house? Why? If you had a bigger house, let me tell you what you'd do. You'd hoard that one up too.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. We were going to buy a new house. I shared that with you last week. Thank God we didn't. But the thing is, we have to be good stewards. Philip has to be a good steward of being pastor of this church. Elder Joe, the deacons, whomever does the leadership, you should be a good steward of it. You shouldn't just wing it. Have you ever heard a preacher just wing it?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe just happens down in our area. You can tell when he hadn't studied.
Amen.
Because he ain't bringing no new word.
Amen.
See, I think every time you get in the pulpit as a pastor or as a preacher, evangelist, or whatever, you should be bringing a new word. Because he said in the word of God, behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Think about it. Now look, I got to go back into mindset. I'm going to get this stuff to you. Number two, towards spiritual growth with a positive attitude and mindset. Believe that you are capable of growing with God's help.
Yep.
Philippians 4:13. Everybody in this house should know it. If you don't, your Sunday school teachers have failed. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Mm-hmm. Now, when the Apostle Paul was writing that letter to the church of Philippi, he was letting them know that there is nothing that you can't do through God.
Yeah.
But if it's not working,
yeah,
it wasn't God.
Amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I'm preaching better than you're shouting.
Amen.
How many times have we tried to resuscitate something that wasn't God's will?
Amen.
And we're trying to put CPR on something dead.
Yeah.
It's already turned blue. It's cold. It's heavy. Why are you trying to resuscitate it?
You're right. Amen.
Catch this. When God spoke to Joshua after Moses died, you read it when you get home. God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1. Now they had mourned for Moses. You were supposed to mourn for someone that passed away for 30 days. It was supposed to be a day, which we would call in today's society a month of mourning. Now the thing was, if Joshua and Caleb would have came back with the other 10 spies and said, "We can't take the land," it would have died right there. But Joshua and Caleb went in to the promised land. Or go to look at the promised land. They walked up, they looked over, and yes, there was giants that was carrying clusters of grapes. Yes, it was a fortified city. But you seem to have forgotten, church, it was promised.
Amen.
Not by man,
that's right,
but by God.
Yes, amen.
Those 10 came back,
yeah,
and they said something that we say when the enemy says boo.
Yeah.
They came back with a report that we are as grasshoppers in our own sight.
Yeah.
Don't miss it. We see ourselves as grasshoppers. If David would have seen himself as a grasshopper, he never would have defeated Goliath.
Yes, amen.
David didn't need Saul's armor. David didn't need the other ones to help him. David said this. Glory to God, you got to remember, David was just bringing cheese and biscuits to his brother. His daddy had done told him. Jesse told him to go out there, glory to God, and take this cheese and these biscuits to your brother. Come on, I'll preach it better than you shouted. Glory to God, he said this. He said, take it. And when he goes up there, he goes and says, "What's going on, bro? I'm breaking 2019, okay? What's going on, bro? Done? Why y'all standing over here, got a quiver in your liver and shaking like a cold? See that guy out there? 9'4". Man, ain't none of us can take him down." Mindset. David said, "Well, I ain't got nothing to do between now and my shift of watching the sheep. I think I'll take him out before supper."
Yep, amen.
What does David do? He uses that he proved.
Yeah. Amen.
What's in
Amen.
Your hand? Yep. Hallelujah. Whatever you got in your hand is your
yes.
purpose.
Amen.
You don't need a rifle.
Amen.
You can use a slingshot under the authority of God in His Word.
Yes.
Now
Amen.
Catch this. Here we go. So what does David do? They first off come to him and they say, hey, they tell him, say, take Saul's armor.
Yes.
What did David say? I can't use his armor. I haven't proved it.
Yeah.
It was too heavy for me. That wasn't his purpose. We've been trying. Oh, Brother Joe, this is good. We have been trying to carry something that's too heavy because it's not our purpose. How many of you know debt is heavy? And the Bible tells you, does it not, that the borrower is servant to the lender?
Yeah.
Amen.
Now you miss it. We are trying to do things. This church doesn't need to feed 60,000 people right now.
Right.
You haven't proved it.
Right. Amen.
Mother Teresa said it this way: if you can't feed 1,000, just feed one.
Amen.
Little is much when God is in it.
Yes. Amen.
But anything that God's in won't be a struggle.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Ooh, Jesus. Anyway, gotta get back. So what does David do? I'm watching. What does David do? So I got a slingshot. I'm gonna go down here to this brook. I'm gonna pick me up 5 smooth stones. If Five's the number of favor in the Bible, by the way.
Yeah.
David picks up five smooth stones, puts them in his sack. Why did he pick up five? Goliath had four brothers.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
David wanted Goliath to know,
yes,
under the authority of God,
yes,
I'm not just going to take you out, but I am sending your brothers notice. I'm going to take them out too.
Yes,
see, the thing is, sometimes we want to kill a snake, or we want to cut down a tree, and we want to think that that thing's dead, but that baby had a root.
Yes, amen.
The problem in our life is we're trying to cut down trees, but we're not getting to the roots.
Yes, yes.
There's an issue. There is something that is stopping growth. There is something that is stopping God doing great things in your life. What's the root?
Yep.
It's your attitude.
Yep.
It's your mindset.
Yep.
See, you get back to that. Five smooth stones. David walks out. Remember, Rudy. Red-headed with freckles. Little shepherd boy. Walks out, looks at that 9-foot-4-inch giant. And what does Goliath say? Am I a dog? This is the best you got. I'm going to pick that kid up, break him down, and I'm going to use him as a toothpick. And I believe he talks some junk on the battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the worst teams in the world talk a lot of junk, don't they?
Yeah.
Won't go there. But the thing is, he said, hey, listen. Listen, dog. You come to me with the spear and the sword. I see it. But you got to remember something. Well, let's stop just a second because I got to build it. He says, yeah, yeah. You probably could take me out if it was just me.
Yeah, amen. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But you don't understand. You come to me with the spear and the sword. Goliath, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
And today, you going down.
That's right.
And when you go down, I hope your brothers take notice, because I'm getting it all when I get one.
Amen.
So the Bible says that he took that slingshot, and that rock hit the one place that Goliath wasn't protected. When you're doing something for God, you're going to hit the enemy,
yes,
in,
yes,
the one place,
yes,
he's,
amen,
not protected.
Yes.
But see, that didn't kill him.
That's right.
He stumbled to the ground. Now, something that I think you need to catch. David had not proven Saul's armor,
yeah,
but yet he took Goliath's sword,
yeah,
and cut Goliath's head off.
Yeah.
Now, I might not be the brightest bulb in the house, but I have a feeling Goliath's sword was heavier than Saul's.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, if you ever play golf, you can't be 6'4" and use 4'11" golf clubs. Because it wasn't made for you.
That's right. Amen.
Well, it didn't cost you nothing. That's good. But catch it. He cut his head off. He went right back to him and said, hey, here you go.
Yeah.
That's what y'all guys were wanting. I'm going back to the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
David, by walking in faith,
yes,
killed the giant that had put that country through Hades.
No. No.
Where's the giant made the count?
Yeah. Go ahead. Amen.
Oh, now, shimmy, shimmy, come, go, puff.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the giant?
Yeah.
Why ain't you going to the battlefield?
Yeah.
Why is this area full of drugs?
Yeah.
Poverty. There's a giant.
Yeah.
If you broke, it's a giant in your life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. See, you might say, well, Pastor, or Jonathan, glory to God, you don't understand. You know, they put themselves in that condition. Well, you put yourself in the condition of sin bound for hell.
Yeah. Amen.
And you needed a Savior.
Yes, amen.
Ooh.
Yep.
Think about it.
Amen.
Uh-huh. You should be dead of an overdose.
Amen. Go ahead.
You should have got killed going home drunk driving a car.
You're right.
But by the grace of God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
See, to somebody, Brother Dickey, a pop the top can of food don't mean nothing. But to a starving mama and her children, that's the difference between life and death.
Yes, amen.
I've told y'all the story about my granny. And I'm watching. I told you the story about my granny. My granny told him, said, she didn't have no bread in the house. And, you know, they lived in the house. You know, you didn't have central air and heat back in those days. You had a fireplace with a chimney. And granny was praying. And she was praying, God, your word said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Or his seed begging bread. God, we need some bread. But these three little punks heard granny. And they said, let's go get some bread, drop it down the chimney, and make fun of her. Boys went and got a loaf of bread, dropped it down the chimney. And my granny, in all her wisdom, says, thank you, Lord, for the bread that you've given us, even if it did come from the devil. Amen. Think about it. He said in his word. See, I can't look at sickness as a death or death notice.
That's right.
I've got to look at sickness saying, your word said,
yes,
that by your son's stripes I am healed.
Yes.
Your word said, glory to God, that I'm above and not beneath.
Yes. Amen.
See, the thing I was going to share this morning got ahead of myself. When Adam, glory to God, when Adam came, when God got called Adam so he could have cornucopia, so he could have communion with him. Glory to God, he looked at Adam and said, Adam, everything you see here is yours.
Yeah.
But I have a stipulation.
Yeah.
Don't touch the tree of the midst.
Yeah.
See, the problem is God tells us specifically what we're not supposed to touch.
Yeah.
Did his word not tell us that we're not supposed to touch no unclean thing?
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
No unclean thing. The Bible is so specific that he tells a man, if a man looks upon a woman as to lust upon her, he's done committed adultery in his heart.
Amen.
Wow. But, hey, ladies, don't think he didn't mean you too.
Yes, amen.
Because the reason he said man so much in the Bible is because man is the head of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said that to us, Brother Dickey, he was telling us, Brother Joe, to tell our spouses, same for you, baby.
That's right.
Come on now.
That's right.
Why did he call Adam in the garden? He had Eve. He says, Adam, hey man, where you at, boy? See, I think it's so funny. I love when we try to hide from God.
Yeah,
and he's omnipresent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But see, we heard your voice in the midst of the garden. Isn't it amazing? The first thing he says is in the midst.
Yeah.
Where was the tree? In the midst.
Yeah.
So he had already told God, I'm guilty as charged. Hey, I was there.
Yeah. I'm in the midst.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the midst. We seen that we was naked. We hid ourselves. Who told you was naked?
That's right.
That woman you gave me, you know, she ate of that tree, and I could really share some things with you that God has shown me about that tree, but for like a time I won't. But the thing is, he said the woman, isn't it amazing that when a church is not growing, we blame someone else?
Yes, amen.
When things are not going the way we think it should go, we place the blame on someone else. Can I tell you something? You can't blame nobody for the state you in but you.
Yes,
I love the way we play the blame game.
Yeah.
You know, I hear people say, well, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites who go to church. Well, they go to Walmart and don't stop you from going to get your groceries. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't use that excuse.
Yes,
hallelujah. The hypocrites go to the game every Friday night over here in Avery County. That don't stop you from hooping and a hollering. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
That didn't cost them nothing either. But he says this right here, I must go on.
Yes.
Believe that you're capable of growing with God's help. Here we go. Set both behavioral and functional goals as I just described you in 2 Peter 3 and Philippians 4. Strive to develop a Christ-like behavior. Come on now. I'm going to read these scriptures to you for lack of time. You write them down. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. He says this, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, which is effort, add to your faith. Uh-oh. We think if we got faith, we got it all. But that ain't what the Apostle Paul said to the church of Philippi. Peter said in his second letter, he says this, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Purity. When he said in the scripture, I know I'm not going to do this, but when he said in the scripture, I felt the virtue go out of my body with the woman with the issue of blood. You know what? At that bit, she came to him pure. Nothing was adulterated. She came believing.
Yes, amen.
She didn't want material. She just wanted healing. Because see, this lady was put away for 12 years. Over 4,000 days. 4,000 plus days she was placed in a room. She couldn't see the light of day. She was nasty. They were still under Levitical law. Catch this. If any man laid with her, he was unclean. And he was put in a room by himself. The Bible said she had spent all she had, but her condition got worse. But then she heard about this man through the cracks of the house named Jesus. This adulterous woman had done came through the neighborhood. He said, I seen a man. These men of the city that I was sleeping with, I ain't got time to go into all that, brought me to Jesus. And they wanted me to be stoned.
That's right.
It said Jesus was riding on the ground. He said, he without sin among you, you throw that first stone. And he continued riding. She told him amongst all those women that you know what happened? Bob, Jim, and Sam left. And it was just me and him. He looked up at me and said, where are those boys? I took telling Ron, Jesus, I ain't got no reason to condemn you. Just go and sin no more. That woman told him, she heard that. She had heard about him healing the blinded eyes. Healing the lame legs. And she said, she didn't say it out loud, Brother Joe. She said within herself. Because you got to remember, it's just her and God. I believe I just touched the hill. It's gone. This right here, guys. The heel. He didn't take it touching his heart, touching his face. She just had to get a touch of the hem to touch him. Hallelujah. And the Bible said when she touched the hem of his garment, she was immediately made whole. And Jesus said, oh, hallelujah. He said, who touched me, boys? They're like, come on, JC. You see this crowd of people? I don't know who touched you. He said, I'll tell you something right now, boys. Somebody touched me. And the virtue left my body. And she looked up. She said, I touched you. I touched you. When's the last time you touched him and he knew it? Not when's the last time he touched you. When's the last time you touched him? I got to go home. But he said right here, to virtue, knowledge. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why are we destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because we have lack of word. To knowledge, self-control. I don't think I need to elaborate on that one, do we? We all could use just a little bit more of that, couldn't we? Some more than others, but we won't go there. But he says right here, when you get self-control, perseverance, steadfastness, unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the Lord, so that your labor will not be in vain.
That's right.
He says, to perseverance, Hey, get you some godliness.
Yeah, amen.
To godliness, brotherly kindness.
Yes, amen.
Joe.
Amen.
I don't think people, I'm just going to throw this right out. People can't get past diligence. Well, when you start talking about virtue, but doesn't the Bible tell us that sweet water and bitter water can't proceed out the same fountain?
Yes, amen.
Neither can blessings and curses.
That's right.
I can stop right there. I think it's a good place to land this part. I might have to tell Philip. I got to have more time. But he says right here, and with brotherly kindness, get you some love.
Yes.
For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say it.
Yes, amen.
The Word of God said it.
Amen.
Peter wrote it under the direction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's walking among, or living among us now because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Yes, amen.
Making intercession on our behalf.
Yes, amen.
I don't know about y'all. I'm going to land this plane, but I don't know about y'all. But I don't want to be that person that Satan looks at and says, Jesus I know, Peter I know, but who are you?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Does Satan know your name?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't. No, you miss it. Does he see your name redeemed?
Yes, amen.
Or does he see your name his?
You're right.
See, guys, ladies and gentlemen, lukewarm Christians ain't making it.
That's right.
The Bible says in the book of Revelation, I would that you were either cold or hot.
Yep.
But because you are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you,
yep,
spew you out of my mouth.
Amen.
Now, let's go back to that Pepsi again. Have you ever been so thirsty that you see a can of Pepsi, a bottle of Pepsi, sitting, and your mindset is that's going to be ice cold. Yep. And you drink it, and it's hotter than a cup of coffee. Do you swallow it? Nope.
Nope.
You spit it out. Why? Because that Pepsi wasn't meant to be hot. See, if... Oh, hallelujah. I got a revelation, and I'm done. If you are not hot in the place that you are, you're in the wrong place.
Amen.
If you're not being fed the Word of God, the Bible says you need the Word of God more than your necessary food.
Yes, amen.
You might need to jump at another table.
No.
You might say, oh, wait a second. Uh-uh. We need the Word of God now more than ever.
Yes, amen.
We do. My goodness. You look at our nation. Heather was telling me a while ago, I wasn't paying attention. When I'm driving, I'm pretty focused on that car in front of me because y'all people can't drive, boom. And we're driving, boom. And she says, did you see them two guys holding hands? I was like, no, I sure am glad I did. She said, yeah, they were holding hands. And I said, oh, dear Jesus. Used to, they stayed in the closet. Now they've come out of the closet and the Christians are going in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One woman can take prayer out of school. Oh. Because they three Christians that will stand up and say, uh-uh, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah. The problem is we don't want to make a scene. Well, when Jesus showed up anywhere, he caused chaos.
Yeah.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Why did he cause chaos? Because it wasn't the way the religious folk did it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't get me wrong. I pray for people that's messed up. When I see them, I'll speak to them. Because I got to show them the love of God.
Amen.
You know what? It's going to get people to get people saved. Brother Joe, it's going to be when we look beyond their fault like Jesus did us and see the need. Hallelujah. When we look and say that young man that's practicing that homosexual lifestyle, he wasn't made that way. Some daddy didn't step up and teach him how to be a man. Glory to God. Somebody was an absentee father. I don't agree with that. If daddy's done their jobs, those young men wouldn't be confused. I have a friend of mine. She goes there. She used to go to the church I pastored. She don't trust white men. And she's a white woman. She said, I don't trust white men. She said, I date black guys. And I just asked her one day, I said, Crystal, I'm white. She said, oh, I trust you. I said, I thought you said you didn't trust white men. She said, I trust a white man of God. But catch this. I said, Crystal, why? And you know what she told me? My uncle raped me. So when she sees a white guy, she sees her uncle. Yep. And I told her today and made her mad. I said, Crystal, until you get rid of the victim mentality and you stop seeing yourself as a victim, you're never going to be an overcomer of the things that you've been through.
Yes, amen.
People that sin are hurting.
Amen.
And the church ain't giving them no medicine.
No.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're condemning them.
Our neighbor.
I have a neighbor. He's homosexual. He made the mistake of coming into my yard Friday. I mind my own business. Working. I worked till 8:30 Friday night. Document. Well, he opened the door and I went through it. I said, tell me something, man. What caused you to turn to it? My daddy. My daddy. Test this, medicate this pain. Why do most young women, I'm not saying all, trying to help this church, get pregnant at 16? Somebody didn't give them structure at home. Somebody, I'm going to tell you something, 16 years old, my daughters knew to be home at 10. Not 11. If that boy brings you home after 10, you won't see him again. And you know what? Samantha tried to call my bluff one night. She didn't get home at 10. She didn't get home at 11. She didn't get home at 12. Boy, daddy was waiting. Well, they called, and there was at the Tanglewood Festival of Lights. I said, be home at 10. When she got home, I told her, you ain't going out with him no more. Not for a while. That was strike. You only get 3 strikes with me as a daddy. How many strikes did you daddies give me? If a boy tried had the urge to merge with my daughters, he didn't just strike out. He got ejected from the game. Glory to God. You don't believe me, ask that boy that Samantha dated. He had the urge to merge, and I ejected him from the game. He called me and said, that's Samantha's. He said, he made the mistake of telling me, Samantha should make the decision who she dates. I said, not as long as she puts her feet under my table and sleeps in my bed. That little boy shut up. But I said all that to say this. I feel in my spirit that this church is still holding on to things. At one time, Brother Joe, they had released it. But you're still grasping. Can I tell you something? You can't change this morning. It's done gone. Well, I can't change eating that barbecue and I'm still tasting it. Probably be tasting it till tomorrow. Can't change it, can I, Brother Charlie? It's done ate. So why am I going to sit here and dwell on it? This too shall pass. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But see, the thing is, everything's a mindset. You got to believe But then you got, can I tell you something? How many of you have ever been driving down the road and seen a cloud of smoke in the horizon? What's the first thing you say? Wonder where that's burning at. And when something's on fire, 9 times out of 10, we'll go out of our way to see what's burning, won't we? Yeah. If this church ever decides to get on fire,
amen.
People will come to see what's burning.
Yep. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Because the thing is simply this. You don't need smoke and lights to get the presence of God.
Amen.
You just got to get Christ-like mindset. Amen. How many of you remember the story of Jacob? And we're going to pray. Jacob wrestled with God. And he said this. We're going to wrestle, but I'm not leaving until you bless me. He had that mindset. I'll stay here all night, but I'm not leaving until you bless me. He wrestled with that angel all night. Until the light of day. But guess what happened? He got blessed.
Yeah. Amen.
And can I tell you something? When you get blessed, you don't just have a change of your mindset, you have a change of your name.
Yes, amen.
Uh-huh. See, Jacob in Hebrew meant trickster. What did he do to his brother? He tricked him for his birthright.
Yeah.
He tricked his father along with his mama's help. Yep. But he tricked his father.
Sure did.
And all he, see, the thing is, I ain't got time to go into it. But Satan knew Esau's weakness that day. He was hungry. And Jacob knew it. Jacob was mama's boy. He knew how to make some pinto beans and ham hock. And he come in, he said, "Now I'm hungry, Jacob. Hey, man, I tell you what, if you give me your birthright, you can have this soup." Well, man, at this point, how many times you ever sit here and this old said, "I'm so hungry"? My daddy says all the time, "I'm so hungry I could eat the rear end out of a northbound mule." I never had another, I never understood that. Or the south end out of a northbound mule. And I see it. But that's how hungry Esau was that day. But see, he had to change his name. Come on. Something I shared this morning. Mephibosheth. You need to understand, David took what he was supposed to have got after his daddy died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Mephibosheth was in line for that throne.
That's exactly right.
And you know what David said, I believe in my spirit, that I was studying this a while ago? Why did David allow Mephibosheth to sit at the king's table? Because he was supposed to have sat there.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Oh, you should shout right there.
Amen.
That was what was in his DNA.
Amen.
Was to be a king.
Yep.
And what did David do? I'm praying right here a second. What did David do? He said, "I didn't forget where you came from."
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Amen.
And I knew the plans I had for you.
Yes,
so what
amen.
Did he say to him? He said, "Now listen, Seba," and I ain't got time to go into it. But Mephibosheth in Hebrew means born of shame. The mouth of shame. Mephibosheth, you look at Seba, and he said, "Seba?" And that meant army, mighty, warrior in Hebrew. I ain't got time to go into it. But he said, "Seba, I want you and your family to take care of Mephibosheth, what I'm giving to him." And what did he give him? He gave him his grandpa's inheritance, his daddy's inheritance, and his inheritance.
Yes,
36 people worked for Mephibosheth.
Yes, amen.
And Mephibosheth, all he had to do, here was the stipulation. He said, "Mephibosheth, you can have all this under one condition, that you eat continually at my table."
Yes, amen.
I'm done. I'd love to preach more.
Amen.